Welcome to the Marketing Mantra Podcast, brought to you by 99signals.com, a place to find top-notch content on a wide range of marketing topics, including SEO, social media marketing, content marketing, blogging, and more. Take your blog to the next level and achieve massive traffic growth by learning top blogging strategies discussed in the Marketing Mantra Podcast. And now, here is your host, Sandeep Mallya.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 48 of the Marketing Mantra Podcast. This is your host, Sandeep Mallya from 99signals.com. On this episode, I'll be joined by John Wong, who's the owner of Local SEO Search, Canada's 4.9-star full-service SEO company for local businesses. As the owner of Local SEO Search since 2013, John's mission is to help businesses stand out with useful, informative, and locally focused content. In this episode, John will be sharing lots of insights on local SEO, and he'll be specifically sharing actionable tips to optimize your Google My Business listing, also called GMB listing. A majority of local businesses I know just claim their GMB listing and seem to forget about it. But there are several features included within your GMB account that can really enhance your presence in local search results. So John will be sharing some of the most overlooked aspects of GMB and the steps you can take to stand out amidst local competition. If you have a local business and you want to dominate Google search results in your location, then you wouldn't want to miss this episode. I'm super excited to have John on the show, and I hope you find this episode useful. The interview with John Wong is coming up next. Stay tuned. Hey, John, welcome to the Marketing Mantra Podcast. SEO is my favorite marketing topic, and I always love talking about SEO with my guests. So it's super awesome to have you here on the show. And I'm really excited to hear all the actionable tips and tactics that you have for our listeners today.
Thank you for having me, Sandeep. I'm very excited to be on your show as well. And I'm delighted to share some insights to your audience.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. For those of my listeners who haven't heard about your local SEO agency or who don't know about your podcast, which is Local SEO Today, can you just briefly tell us a bit about yourself and your journey so far?
Yeah, definitely. So 7 years ago, back in 2013, I started my agency called Local SEO Search, and it's located here in Toronto, Canada. And my goal was really to help business owners get more visibility on SERPs, search engine results pages, through Local, which is the Local 3-pack, or back then it was a 7-pack, and also with local queries, right? Because prior to starting this agency, just a backstory, my university degree was in business finance, but shortly afterwards, I took on roles in the sales and advertising and marketing roles. So I worked in affiliate online marketings to more digital space like CPM, CPA, CPC, as well as more a local landscape. So I worked at Yellow Pages, which is the printed directory, as people know it, physically going to every single home and business, and delivered. And it was the go-to place for business owners to advertise for almost over 100 years, right? So it was dominant before Google came into existence, right? And then Google kind of took over. So I had to quickly adapt and change. So when I worked at Yellow Pages for over 5 years, I saw a trend. I saw a lot of people reducing their ad spend, getting less return on their investment, and people were frustrated because they understood that there must have been another place people are searching or finding their business because they weren't getting the same amount of leads or calls or business while spending more than ever in printed directories. So I had to discover uncover what Google was all about. And really, that's why I started this agency, to help those business owners that were spending a lot, not getting good return, and transitioning them into more of a digital platform, optimizing a website, and getting more of an organic results from search.
Awesome. So can you also share information about your podcast, Local SEO Daily? Because I just saw that you have over 150 episodes. Correct me if I'm wrong. My perception about local SEO has always been that it's an important topic, but it's a small topic. So I would really like to know how you have been able to release 150 episodes so far. So what do you essentially cover in your podcast? Is it all about local SEO, or do you cover other aspects of SEO as well?
So just to give you an insight, I started the podcast about a year and a half to 2 years ago. It's called Local SEO Today. The reason I started was not only have I been working with a lot of local business owners over the years, but also my VP of sales. He was at Yellow Pages for over 35 years. So combined, and Roger, which is the VP of sales, we've worked with over 10,000 local business owners, and we have a lot of insight and information and business experience and knowledge in terms of sales and marketing to small business owners and local business owners, right? So from that, that's where we came into play and say, let's help the audience members, people that are frustrated and not understanding what it really means to be a business owner in the first place, but also navigate to become a successful local business. And there's a lot of different ways to do that, right? From operations to having a successful website, from optimizing your stresses, your operations, your productivity, your staffing. So we cover a lot of different topics from how to run a good business to everything from local SEO to having guests on. So really just to inform and educate and impact people, entrepreneurs or people that have been in the business for a while to understand how to run a more successful business and really gain some insight on strategies and tactics on how to optimize yourself, right?
Sounds awesome. So I saw a few, like you said, you invite guests on your show and it's all about real life examples and case studies. So I'm eager to learn more about your podcast and I'll surely be tuning in. So now let's talk about local SEO. In your own words, how do you define local SEO and how is it different from traditional SEO?
Yeah, so traditional SEO, as people see and know of it, it's really the organic section below the three-pack map, right? So what I think of when people hear about SEO, they really think of maybe link building, right? Or strategies to get more links and connections from other sites, right? As the go-to place on how to generate more traffic to your site, right? Gain some insight, generate some more keywords and traction. But when you look at local, and because we've been doing local for 7 years with this agency, and prior to that, 5 years at Yellow Pages, I understand the landscape of servicing a local type of client, which is your service industries, right? Small, medium-sized businesses dealing with more community-focused, you know, your mom-and-pop dental office or physio-chiro office or restaurant or florist, whatever it may be. They're usually local in nature, right? They deal with clients in their 2 kilometers to maybe 10 kilometer radius, some of them up to 30 kilometers. That's what I mean by local, because typically a user or a new prospect will search organic, get some information through, you know, people on YouTube or informative blogs or checking out websites. But when it comes down to ready to buy and someone ready to purchase something, they're going to shop locally, right? And what you need to figure out is how do you convert them when they're shopping locally to your website, right? And hopefully they call you or interact with you. So that entire buyer journey is very important. Understanding to connect your customers or prospects to your website, which, you know, you obviously have a unique selling proposition or all the products and services, but also engage with them so that when they're ready to buy, you have actionable things that they can do right away, like submit that form request or call or find you on that GMB listing, right? Where it's map directions, calls, photos, but be visible. So the key is being on the map so that you appear, so the local why, but also with local queries as well, right? Someone searching for a dentist near me or a dentist in Toronto, Canada, you want to appear.
Right. I know local SEO is important, but is it more important for certain industries, like you mentioned, service-oriented businesses, restaurants, mom-and-pop stores?
Do you think local SEO is just meant for them, or can any business thrive with local SEO?
So again, it all depends on your demographics, your type of clients that you're trying to attract, right? If you've been in business for a while, you know where you're getting most of your customers from, right? Are they residing in a local landscape, or are they further away, like a more national scope or international scope? Are they those your clients? So typically, people tend to want to shop local. They want to support their local community. They want to help each other out because they are within their radius. Like, you probably are neighbors with someone that's running a business, right? So you want to support local. So my take on it is, when I was at Yellow Pages, you actually form relationships with real people on a local landscape. But when you become more national or international, you don't have the same sort of relationship that's formed. That's the major difference, like figuring out where you want to promote your business and where your customers are coming from. Typically, yes, we deal with a lot of services. We do have B2B customers as well, and they really focus on more national, international landscape, where we understand local, but we also understand organic and how different the strategy is based on what you're trying to achieve. So each client is different. Each demographic and industry is different. Each market is different. So you have to understand the business itself and what they're trying to achieve before you come up with a strategy and campaign for them.
Okay, got it. Are there any local SEO tips that you have, a few tips that are your favorite when it comes to, say, optimizing a B2B business for local searches?
Yeah, so local SEO is very similar, but very different in a lot of instances as well. Always look at relevancy, right? Always look at the search query, because keyword research is very important, right? Not only that, but semantic keywords and conversion copyright, right? So ensuring that you have a persona, you understand that journey, which terms you want to go after, from informational to navigational to transactional, like understand where they're at, create compelling content, and make sure that you have all factors that is needed to rank on an organic scope, but focus on local terms and queries, from titles to descriptions to headers to everything localized. Just add that community or city focus at the end of it, and that becomes local. But you also have to set up your schema properly, sitemap. Make sure that it's set up properly in terms of SEO, right? Like, you probably have GSC set up, but there's tons of tools as well, right? Where you can utilize that for your own purpose. So because we focus on local, we have local SEO tools as opposed to more link building tools for traditional SEO, right? But you need to also have links, but more community links as opposed to international links, right? Okay. So there is a difference because signals, what Google is looking for is, how relevant is this website for that local area? Is it a part of local associations, communities, and your industry niche that people are advocating for you versus international advocation? You always have to look at what Google is looking for, but also have to satisfy your customers by creating good content and information that will attract your audience members.
Got it. So let's segue into Google My Business, since you broached this subject. And I was reading the Ahrefs guide on local SEO today, and these stats really baffled me. You know, apparently 46% of all Google searches are local, yet 56% of local retailers haven't even claimed their Google My Business listing. So since you've been in local SEO for a while and you have so much experience in terms of local SEO, can you tell us why GMB is so important?
I feel like it's the first place people look at, either on a smartphone, because people are on the go all the time. Especially, well, right now it's a different situation. People are probably at their desktop or laptop at home. But when things are back to normal, people are on the go. And when they're on the go checking on a smartphone device, they're always searching for terms and queries that are localized, right? Near me searches, or just generic keywords. But Google typically knows the IP address, and if you have the location signal on, they actually know which businesses are nearby, right? So you want to own space on a local landscape, and it's usually on a grid instance, right? So based on your IP or that physical location, what's the radius that you service, and how can you dominate that local niche with a lot more variety and semantic keywords, not only your focus keyword terms, right? And, you know, there's a lot of keyword research tools, as you know, you're using Ahrefs, SEMrush, KeywordTool.io. There's so many, like even Google Ads gives you some keywords, right? So tons of keywords out there. Look at what you're really looking to attract, right? In terms of services, products, but really focus on your type of clients more so than trying to dominate every single term. Because as you grow in your business and you understand who your ideal customer is, you will not want to take any client. You want to take the right client.
Exactly. That's such an important point that you just brought up. Sometimes you get tempted to take any client that comes your way, but you need to see what expectations they have, and you need to see if there is a match in terms of your business philosophy and theirs, and you need to set the expectations right straight away. That's such an interesting point that you brought up. So for most local businesses that I know, at least in Bangalore, they are more concerned with getting their business verified on Google My Business, getting their office established in Google Maps. That's about it. That's the extent to which they'll go to when it comes to optimizing their GMB presence. They don't really care much about the reviews. In fact, a few businesses that I know of, I mean, these are B2B businesses, and they are really good at what they do. And they have so many testimonials on their website. There's social proof everywhere. But when it comes to their GMB page, it looks like it's a wasteland. There are just 3 to 4 reviews. And in some cases, the reviews are negative. It doesn't even make sense. So can you tell us what are some of the most overlooked aspects of Google My Business? Like I said, most of the local business owners tend to focus only on getting their business verified. That's about it. But yes, there's so much more you can do with your GMB page. So if you can just illustrate a few things about GMB, that'll be great.
Oh, definitely. So GMB, of course, the first thing is to verify. Go to Google My Business, go in, log in. Usually they send you a postcard or it's a phone verification. It takes 2 weeks. You put in the code. Now you can actually go in, edit your page. So once you verify it, so the key about verification is there's 2 ways to verify. You can get a postcard sent to your physical address as a business, or you can actually get a phone call verification. And that will depend on what Google's looking for. Like if you've been in business for a while, maybe it's a phone verification and it's more instant. But if it's a postcard, it takes 2 weeks. Then once you verify it, you can go in and make a lot of edits and you'll get more analytics insights as well. So editing it, the title or the company name, make sure that it matches your business name and don't keyword stuff it, right? A lot of people tend to want to keyword stuff their company name on GMB, but people can actually request it to get it edited and changed. Or Google, when they find out that you've been doing it for many, many times, they will actually, you know, remove you completely on GMB, right? Because it is a violation to their guidelines. The key about Google My Business, and I think the biggest thing you have to look at, is the industry that you're tied into, the niche, right? So category. So if you look at who your major competitors are, take a look at the category that they're in, and that tends to be what you should be associated to. You can list 3 or 4 other categories, but that main primary category is the utmost important thing that Google's looking for. Of course, you can then go in and add all the services, products, description in there, but the key is that category and making sure that NAP listing is consistent with all the citation profiles that you have across the board, right? So that's pretty straightforward citation building. But also what is very important is the Q&A, making sure that if there's not a lot of questions, you can go in and ask your own questions and answer it yourself, right? On the GMB listing.
And how do you do that?
So if you go into your GMB listing yourself, you can actually go just on a normal search, right? Usually there's this questions and answer section on the page, and you can go in and ask questions and answer it yourself.
Okay. Sort of like an FAQ section on your website. You can just replicate that on your GMB listing.
So the thing about Q&A is ensuring that it saves you time from answering calls, right? And then, of course, reviews are very, very important. So make sure you have a reputation strategy in place, which is not just getting positive reviews on good clients, but every client. You should try to reach out and let them know, like, you want to ensure that you get better. So if you can write a review, Google reviews are probably the most important review out of all types of industries out there. So depending on which industry you're in, like if you're in the home improvement space or, you know, B2B space or whatever it may be, Google is still the number one place you should really focus your reviews and reputation on. And the good thing about reviews is once someone writes a review, you can go in there and comment and respond to it, right? So always make a habit to respond to every single review. And there's ways to now have keywords in the reviews, and that's another signal that Google's looking for as well, right? Not just on your profile, but also on your reviews page. Upload as many images as possible. Posts, make sure that your posts are unique images, so it's your own images and not stock images, because Google, I think last month, removed all stock images. So make sure that you have your own images on Google profile, GMP posts. You're allowed to post once a week. And I think less than 1 or 2% of all business owners are actually posting on Google.
Yeah. I'm not doing it myself. I mean, what I used to do was I used to plug in all my latest blog posts and podcast episodes. But I think it gets expired in a week or so, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Exactly.
And you have the option to repost it. You have the option to repost the same link. But yeah, like you said, only 2% of businesses do it. But it's such an easy way to drive traffic to your website, right?
Everything is all about just another signal, right? What Google's looking for is make sure that you're doing things consistently. It's like running a good business. If you know how to run a good business, and you'll know if you are running a good business when customers are sending you referrals, right? And they don't mind asking, you know, telling their friends and family members about you. So if you are running a good business and it's working well, get more referrals, take care of your clients, and make sure that Google is aware of all that, right? Because when they see all this happening, reputation, other links, other associations you're part of, you know, now you're part of another podcast or you're speaking at an event and people mention that in a testimony or there's a link back to you, right? Like all these are signals. So the more you have, the better it is. Don't focus primarily on just dominating one thing, but you do poorly on running, taking care of your clients, right? I always say take care of your clients as the number one thing.
Right. So I want to circle back to a point that you brought up, which is responding to reviews and not just having positive reviews, but also responding to negative reviews. And that's such an important point in my opinion, because not a lot of businesses do that. Negative reviews are often ignored. So I'll give you my own example. What happened recently, not recently, but I guess about a year back, was my agency is called Startup Cafe Digital. It has the word cafe in it. And there was a review that I got on my GMB listing, which said, I visited this place and it's not a cafe. And it was a 1-star review. And I replied to this review saying that, you know, it just has cafe in its name. It's not a cafe. So it's unfair of you to leave a 1-star review. I was very polite when I replied. I said, we are a digital marketing agency. And within a few days, the person ended up removing his review. So my rating was intact on GMB. And I think this is such a simple thing that a business owner can do whenever there are negative reviews. Even if you would want those reviews to be there Just the fact that you've responded to these reviews, people can obviously see your response as well. And when a business owner takes the effort to respond to negative reviews, that really shows that this person cares about how he is perceived by others and how he takes care of his existing clients. So that's a really interesting point that you brought up.
Yeah, so I'm going to add to it. So one thing that you have been doing good is responding to negative, but I would take it a step further and respond to all positive as well. Make it a habit, because if someone's writing a review, they actually get an email back once you respond to them, right?
You're right.
Because it's tied to their account, Gmail account, because they used it to write the review. So you get an email or message from Google saying someone wrote you a review. When you respond to it, they get an email saying someone responded to your review. So that gives them a signal and a chance to rebuttal as well. And hopefully, in your instance, that person who gave you a one star actually removed it because you took the time as a business owner to let them know, like, unfortunately, sorry, you know, empathize with their situation and apologize and then take it a step further and say, you know, we are this. And if you do need us as a service in the future, please remember us and we'll take care of you. Right. Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Make sure that they really feel that you actually want to help and care about them versus you're just in it for the business, right? Like, be real about this, right? Because people see it and they'll see good and positives and negatives, both sides, right? So try to make it a habit.
Right. The reason I brought up negative reviews is that I've seen business owners responding to positive reviews with at least a thank you. But when it comes to negative reviews, they either get too defensive or they don't acknowledge it at all. And they're just left out in the open. So that's the reason I brought up negative reviews. And like you said, responding to every review out there is so important. And it's such an important step. And it's such a simple step. It just hardly takes 5 to 10 minutes for you to respond to a review, even if you're leaving a detailed response. And I think most business owners can benefit by taking this step. So can you share a few more actionable tips for optimizing your GMB listing? I would really like to learn more about this super useful tool that Google has. So if you have any other actionable tips to share with our listeners, that'll be great.
Yeah, so there's, you know, the same four, like there's over 200 signals for SEO, right? And what Google's looking for mainly is links and content, right? But in terms of GMB, you're now looking at citations and also reviews, right? But you also have to localize the terms, and it's all about relevancy and user intent, right? So you have to match that with all the other signals like trust and position yourself as an expert. So when I always say take care of your clients, what I mean is take care of your business and make sure you're running a really good business. When you're able to run a good business, you understand the foundation of what's important in not only taking care of your clients, but also transitioning it to a more digital platform. So when you understand your clients' needs, then you'll understand what's important, what Google is trying to achieve, right? And Google's always doing a really good job to you know, bring up new features and new things for Google, my business as well. Like if you're a restaurant or you're a coffee shop, they actually tell you when's a busy time and when's a slow time based on search traffic and search trends, right? So they can indicate when to go and when not to go. They can also give you like a menu if you're a restaurant and tell you to purchase it on, you know, the website itself or third party, like Skip the Dishes or Uber Eats or whatnot. So there's always going to be new features added. So always check in with Google once you have verified your account to see what's going on, right? And see what your competitors are doing as well. This is a great way to see how their reputation is doing, right? Where are things that you can do to get better, improve, do things differently, right? Stand out, see what the competitors' blog posts and GMP posts are, right? And step it up for your own business. So it's a more competitive analysis as well, right? To see what's going on in your space. In terms of like, I look at SEO, and if you've been doing SEO for a while, content, of course, make sure that it's great content matches the user intent, and go after a lot of terms and services that you're going after, but really focus on building relationships off-bound, off-page as well. So real life relationships, real customers, right? Forming that bond so that you can get a review, right? Because ultimately, if you do a good job with a customer, then if you let them know, like, I would love a review if you have time, and make sure it's a habit. So every invoice you send or every phone conversation you have, make it a habit so that you get more reviews, right?
Right. So you've already mentioned, you know, making it a habit. But since you've already had an agency and you provide local SEO services, have you been able to get reviews from all your clients, or are there certain clients who are just hesitant in sharing reviews?
Yeah, so it's hard to get reviews. Honestly, just like every business, there's only a percentage that will actually have a Gmail account and then will actually write a review, right? Fortunately for us, maybe 30% of our clients actually wrote a review because we have that strong relationship. But if you're a dentist, you know, you're lucky to have 1 or 2% of your clients writing a review, because they deal with thousands of customers every year. But the type of service that you're offering, people don't really like writing reviews because they hate going to the dentist, right? So that already is the friction on writing a review, because they already despise going to the dentist. What is there good to say about going to the dentist? Mm-hmm. I hate that pain. I hate that feeling. And it makes me stressed out, want to go to the dentist, right? So you have to look at your industry. You have to look at what's the best practice and make it the habit. So, you know, as a dentist, if you've been working with that patient for 10, 20 years, maybe that's the time where you already know them on a more personal level, then you can ask them, is it possible to write a review, versus someone that just starting to come to your, you know, practice and you don't have that type of relationship yet.
Got it. Another thing I wanted to know about local SEO is local SEO all about optimizing your page on Google, or do you also have to optimize your page on other search engines like Bing, Yahoo, DuckDuckGo, or Yelp pages, or Apple Maps? Do you think it's worth the effort?
My suggestion is I go in and verify and claim every single page, and I focus on Google because that's mainly where all the searches are happening, right? So it all depends on what avenue and which, you know, market you want to go after. But for me, I find like Google is the go-to place for every single business, and users are using Google as the main platform for search. So if that's the reason to do that, you should really focus on the platform that most people are now using. When exactly. Bing starts focusing and are heavy in terms of search traffic, then I'm going to focus my efforts on Bing. But at this point, right, it's still Google.
How is it doing in Canada? In the US, it has, in terms of market share, I think it still has less than 10%. But yeah, it's the second leading search engine in the US by quite a distance. They have Bing Places, right? Bing Places is similar to GMB. Are you getting any traffic from there?
To be honest, it's irrelevant traffic. Because even if there is traffic, it's not converting, right? So why should I focus my efforts and time? Over the course of 7 years, I can even count in one hand, how many people actually reached out to me on these other platforms. So where should I invest my efforts, right? But I'll get more leads than any platform in 7 years, right? You see what I mean? Like, just look at where you're spending your money, right? And investing your dollars. Yeah. And this is why I talk about like advertising in general, right? People are so caught up with social media advertising on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, on, you know, other forms of advertising. But if you look at where your customers are coming from, and you find out that Google is like the hub, it's the place where people solidify you and trust their search results, and they're in control, as opposed to like an ad Facebook shows up on the scrolling and you're pushing stuff at them with a promo and offer, the type of client, the profile of it, and then the longevity of that type of client that you're going to win over, Google is the best type of client you're going to get over any other form of advertising.
Right. Just wanted to know whether it's worth putting any effort on other local SEO avenues. One final question I had for you is, what's your favorite local SEO tool and why is it your favorite?
So I've been using Bright Local for a long time.
Bright Local.
And, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It's mainly citation building, but we also use Ahrefs quite a bit for links. And we also use SEMrush for on-page, right? We use a lot of tools for different purposes. Like when we're doing link building campaigns, we have a lot of different tools for outreach, right? So as an agency, there's tools based on your staff, right? If you have a team of content writers, you need tools that will really help you with keyword research and, and a graphics team and writing compelling content, right? But then also, if you have a strong link team, you need tools to do outreach and a sequence and, you know, strategy behind trying to figure out which partners to connect with, right? Depending on what strategy you have for links, guest posts or really the skyscraper or placement or whatever it may be, right? So right. There's no one tool for local because we're an agency that deals with a full service. And, you know, like your agency, we deal with everything, content, social posts, to citations, to graphics, to dev, to, you know, link building, everything, right? And there's right. So many factors in terms of SEO. There's no one factor that supersedes all the other. It's a combination of all, and that's why you always have to do analysis and competitive research on who your competitors are doing and try to do things better.
Right. So in terms of local SEO specifically, I think Bright Local is probably the leading when it comes to citation building, and you can even sync your Google My Business account with it and then do everything from one dashboard, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
Exactly. There's other local citation sites as well, where we're testing constantly. But the only thing is you go to all these conferences, you learn, you try to, you know, ingest, and you try to see what software is great for your team. Because not everything's going to be the best fit for your process and your team. So what you have to figure out is your time and cost and training versus what's working now, and will it make that significant difference by switching over to another platform? There's pros and cons to everything, right? Like if it's working, why fix it? But you also have to stay on top of what is leading edge and what is different right now. So Google Search Console is the best for just managing every campaign, right? All the information is there. And make sure you have a lot of tools, but people that actually can perform these tasks on these tools, right? Schema is very important for local as well.
Yeah, the schema, right. So great. So one final question. This is something that I ask almost every guest on the show. Since you are an entrepreneur, you have your own business. Are there 2 to 3 books that really influenced you or inspired you when you started your business? Or 2 to 3 books that you would like to recommend to my listeners?
Yeah, so when I first started the business, I was really watching a lot of Rand Fishkin's Whiteboard Fridays. And when it came out, The Lost and Founder, I bought that book, I read it, and it really gave me a perspective of, did I want to be like him and that agency or not? Right? And everything is different, right? You're running your own show. You are unique and you came with a different journey. So as much as you read different books, and I read more of, you know, marketing sales books from Seth Godin to Gary Vee to, you know, a lot of the funnel stuff, because I'm always trying to understand, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and how to, you know, email marketing as well. What works in different industries, not just search, right? Because there's not a lot of books that are very influential in search engine optimization, I would say, because there's tons of blogs and podcasts on that matter, and it's always changing. So it's very difficult to say there's one book, but there's a lot of art, like a lot of authors that I really gravitate towards. And even in sales and marketing, I'm always inspired by motivational people that keep me going. As an entrepreneur, it's very difficult to align yourself with people that are like-minded and keep yourself motivated. So being inspired is very important, and having short-term, long-term goals are much more important to just running your business, right? And aligning yourself right. with good people, partnering and learning and having mentors or having relationships with business owners and people that you look up to, so that you can throw things at them and you know they're going to be honest with you. That's important right. as well, right? Like, and that takes time to really understand, especially if you're starting off, because when you're starting off, it's all about feast or famine. I need that deal to pay for lunch or pay my staff, right? But when you get to a point where you have consistent revenue and you have a business where you know that, you know, you take care of your clients, they're going to pay you and they're happy with your service and they're going to stay longer, then you know you have something going. But until you have that, it's very difficult to say what really pushes you, right? Because at the beginning, it's just getting business, get sales, get customers, right? Until yeah, you realize, right. you know, I'm at a point where I analyze the client, the new prospect, as much as they come to me, I check them out more so than they check up me out to see if they're a good right. fit or not.
Right. I agree wholeheartedly. And when you are starting on your own, you need so much inspiration, and books are probably the best way to, you know, get yourself motivated. And Lost and Founder is such a good book. I'm also a Rand Fishkin fan, though I'm not a big Moz fan. I used to love his whiteboard videos. And in Lost and Founder, he really reveals how, you know, his agency experience was, what he learned by having an agency. And many people think that, you know, having a service-oriented business is not as fruitful as, say, having a product-oriented business. And product-oriented businesses are the ones that attract all these investors and VCs and all that. But it's really revealing to know that Rand Fishkin, despite having a very popular SEO tool right now, he's still not 100% convinced that this is the right way to go. So you can see that conflict in the book, you know, where he shares that when he was having an agency, it was more profitable. He was enjoying his work more. Whereas having a product company, you know, he had to take a break from work. I think he has taken a break from Moz, and he has started something called Spark Toro. But yeah, Lost and Founder is a brilliant book. And Seth Godin books, I think he has written 19 books, if I'm not mistaken. All of them are worth reading. And his latest book, which is This Is Marketing, was absolutely brilliant. So,
well, I've seen them live, like Seth Godin, Gary Vee, all these people. Awesome. That this is what I'm inspired about, right? Like, not just reading about them, following, checking out the blogs and investigating, but also seeing them live in person. You're actually inspired to want to look up to someone like that and really genuinely see that they actually care and want to help. That's the difference right. between a real successful person and someone that is just running a business, right? When you right. care about a business and you really care about helping customers and making an impact, then you get to a different point in life in general, right? And you want to do good. And that's why I've been doing these podcasts, like over the last couple of years, pushing content, but really to help business owners understand, like, you're not alone. We are different, but we can all be successful and help each other out if you have that mindset and you stay the course. And there's going to be troubled times, and it's never a really, you know, uphill one hill. It's always peaks and valleys as a business owner, right? So you have to right. endure this entire journey.
Right. Thank you so much, John, for being on the show. And thank you so much for sharing these actionable tips and was really lovely interacting with you. And I hope I can have you on the show sometime in the future as well. And hopefully your agency will cruise through this crisis, the ongoing COVID-19 crisis, and hope to see you thriving on the other side soon. So thank you so much for being on the show.
I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Sandeep. And all the best for you. And hopefully some of your audience members were able to get some insight. Check us out. I mean, our podcast is Local SEO Today. And really listen, ask questions. We're all about helping. So feel free to engage and start a conversation.
Awesome. So I'll post all the relevant links in the description of this episode. And listeners who are interested, who would like to learn more about John's local SEO business and his podcast, please check out the description in this episode. Thanks once again, John, and you have a lovely week ahead.
Thank you, Sandeep.
Marketing Mantra with Sandeep Mallya is a podcast by 99 Signals, a place to find top-notch content on a wide range of online marketing topics. To get started, visit 99signals.com/best to check out all the top-rated articles on the blog, or simply view the description of each episode to download free online marketing resources to level up your marketing skills. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question or topic suggestion for Sandeep? Simply send a voice message via Anchor app or send an email to podcasts@99signals.com. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Marketing Mantra on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any major podcast player.